Well, happy Thanksgiving. I don't remember if I said it at the beginning, so I thought I'd better put it in my notes here so I didn't forget to say it at least, so I did remember to say it at least once today. Even after 10 years of living in Canada on these Lekwungen lands, I am still getting used to having a harvest for holiday for Thanksgiving, rather than my usual Church of England harvest Thanksgiving being shoehorned into a church service on a Sunday, maybe with a harvest supper on a Saturday, which was always chicken casserole and apple pie, but a long weekend, no way. As I've said before, I am grateful that the Canadian Thanksgiving has its roots in giving thanks for the harvest rather than in the pilgrims and ships and colonization and all of that, that more so for our US neighbors. Not that that story is completely alien to Canada, but that this day is listed in our lectionary, which is the order for the church year, as Harvest Thanksgiving, which is also why we have it earlier in the year than the US Thanksgiving, when the harvest has either happened or is happening. But I digress, that's a little trivia to open the thoughts for tonight. I want to focus on today's Hebrew scripture, partly because I think it's New Testament scripture, the scripture from the Gospel of Jesus talking about do not worry, speaks for itself. And in fact, I kind of tried to address that a little this morning in the sermon, so you'll have to go back and listen to that if you want something about not being stressy and angsty. But the Hebrew scripture struck me as odd from the very first sentence. From the book of Joel, it says, "Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green, the tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine give their full yield." How many statements in scriptures can you actually think of that are addressed to the earth and to animals? Doesn't it seem a little bit odd from what we normally hear? Well, it wouldn't have been at all strange to our Hebrew forebears who heard it originally. For the world view of the Jewish writers of these books and those who heard it would have been that the fate of the land, the fate of the people, the fate of the king, and the fate of the temple were all intimately intertwined, inseparable from one another. When the king failed at playing politics, then the whole people and the earth suffered. When the earth was barren, it was a sign that the conduct of Israel was out of alignment with their calling to justice and equity and wholeness. When the priests were not faithful, the people, the monarchy, and the earth was afflicted. In our 21st Western world, we forget our deep relationship with the earth. Our Hebrew forebears got it. From the creation myths, which, if you needed a clue that they were myths, gives the name as the first human, of the first human, as Adama, which we translate as Adam, but it's not a proper name. It's better translated as dirt or earth. With the story telling us that the first human is formed from the dust of the earth and has divine life breathed into it. The word breath, ruach in Hebrew, is also the word for spirit and for wind. It's the same in the Greek of our Christian scriptures. Pneuma means spirit, breath, or wind. Essentially, say our scriptures, we are dirt, animated by divine life. We are connected to the earth. Of course, if we were to go further back, we now know that our essence is from the stars. As all matter begins, the furnace of being that is the stars. As Joni Mitchell sang, we are stardust, we are gold. No, I'm not going to go on. But while I could hear Alana singing beautifully and practicing for today's anthem, I was humming Woodstock in my office, trying to get the idea of this, we are stardust, we are golden. But I digress again. We see in our scriptures, in our history, the deep relationship with the ground on which we stand. The animals which surround us, the plants of the field, of meadow and forest. We see it in the teachings and understanding of the first peoples of this world also, as well as our Hebrew ancestors. But we in the West have sanitized our relationship with the natural world by separating ourselves from nature and more often than not considering it to be scary and indeed wild. When a slightly eccentric Victorian clergyman in Cornwall, England, began the kind of observance that we now call Harvest Thanksgiving or Harvest Festival a couple of hundred years back or so, an observance which we have folded into what the Anglican Church of Canada follows, he was concerned that the move from an agrarian society to a city-based manufacturing society as per the Industrial Revolution would indeed separate people from the land. The land would no longer be seen as something we were connected to, but as a commodity, something to be used and forgotten about. He was right in many ways. And Harvest Thanksgiving, as we observe it today, is meant to be a corrective to such alienation from whom we really are. So I invite you this Thanksgiving to take some time to reconnect with the earth, with the food that we eat, considering that its source and seeking to eat justly and sustainably and as equitably as we can, to remember our roots and seek to take our roles as stewards and carers of the earth seriously. Happy Thanksgiving.